Welcome to the Og Blog Podcast, your favorite podcast dealing with Peanuts books. Unless you find something else that you like better, and you really should let me know about that. I'd like to hear about that. Today, as a guest, we've got Andrew Farrago, who has got a new book out called The Complete Peanuts Family Album. Just out, just available a week ago as I'm recording this, and probably a few weeks ago as you're listening to this. And just wanted to have a little chat with him about it. I've known Andrew for a few years, very mildly, but always good to get a chance to talk to him. Okay, Andrew, before we get to the book, let's learn a little bit about who you are. You're an artist yourself, but what's your day job these days?
I am the curator of the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco. Just hit my 16-year work anniversary with the museum, so I've been there quite a while now. Yeah, we're the only museum of our kind on the West Coast in the whole Western United States, dedicated to the collection, preservation, and display of original cartoon and comic art. And we are an educational nonprofit museum, so we also teach classes, we host presentations with famous and up-and-coming artists and animators and just all things comics all the time. That's my world.
That sounds good. You're an artist yourself, and you've got a nice little artistic household. Your wife is Shannon K. Garrity, who does the webcomic Skin Horse. And how's Robin coming along? Is his cartoon skills up to speed, or does he not take over the cartoon world until 2035?
He's up and coming. He's ready to go. So my wife, she's also a comics writer and editor, and our three-year-old is learning how to ink and roll panel borders, and I think he'll be assisting his mother any day now. It's really time for him to start earning his keep.
That sounds good. But yeah, the Cartoon Art Museum, I've been there in the past. It's a lovely place. However, the place I've been is no longer the place it is. They have just relocated to a new spot on Ghirardelli Square, if I'm correct. Do I have that right?
That's correct. Yeah. It's happened to many, many businesses in San Francisco over the past several years, but it were just such a fun, exciting place to be that, the rents are skyrocketing all over the city. So 2 years ago, we were displaced from our previous location, and it's taken a little time, but we've just reopened at an amazing new location at Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco, and it's the best view of the city that you're going to get. Wonderful destination for families right by Fisherman's Wharf here in San Francisco. And we're thrilled to be open to the public again. We've got exhibitions featuring Raina Telgemeier, who is pretty much the best-selling graphic novelist right now in the country and has been for a few years.
Absolute king of the adult field. My kids, I've read most of her stuff, but my kids also have been burning through it recently. So, yeah, Raina's great. And the museum, it's San Francisco, so any of my Peanuts fans, followers who are out in the area visiting the Charles Schulz Museum, this is about an hour south of there. So, and of course, it's San Francisco, a lovely place to visit. Not the cheapest place to get a hotel room anymore, but a lovely place to spend some time anyway.
And, yeah, I'll go ahead and mention the Peanuts connection to the museum, but Charles Schulz and his wife, Jeannie, were among the earliest and definitely biggest supporters of the museum. Malcolm White is the founder of the museum, and Charles and Jeannie were really excited about the idea of having a museum here in the Bay Area dedicated to comics. So they have been very generous with financial support over the years. We have a nice collection of Peanuts original strips ourselves, donated directly from Charles Schulz. And some of those will be on display here at the museum.
Great.
In the very near future.
Now, this book, for people who have not seen it, the Complete Peanuts Family Album is a nice, oversized, beautiful graphic book. It's a guide to all the characters, not just the major ones, all the minor characters. Anybody, basically, who had a name in the strip gets to show up, gets some nice art. Lots of strips in there, but a lot of other non-strip art, some Schulz, but a lot of things like comic book covers and things like that. It's a lovely book. Now, what place has Peanuts had in your life? I assume you didn't first hear about Peanuts when you were opening the museum and this guy named Charles Schulz showed up. What place has Peanuts had in your life?
That's a fun question. I can't remember not having Peanuts as part of my life. I grew up, we always had the old paperback collections, and I know some of my earliest memories of reading anything are those wonderful old paperback reading 50s era Peanuts strips from the book collections that my older siblings had. And some of my earliest drawings are Charlie Brown and Snoopy, obviously watching a Charlie Brown Christmas on television every year. I just watched Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, just watched that with my three-year-old.
Did he like it?
And he absolutely loved it. And, you know, it's always been a part of my life. And I started reading the newspaper at an early age just so I could keep up on Peanuts every day. Some of the earliest strips I remember specifically featured, actually mentioning the obscure characters, Sally and her classmate Harold Angel.
Oh.
I very distinctly remember reading those over Christmas break back around 1983. Or
yeah, that was a great run. It really, and it drove that little character. I mean, Harold Angel existed for his name, but it became very memorable. But that actually gets to a question. I don't have a lot of pre-written questions here. Forgive me, I'm not a good interviewer. But obviously, in doing this book, you did a deep dive into the history of Peanuts and on all the little characters that show up here and there. Is there any member of the minor cast? I mean, obviously, we all love Snoopy, Charlie Brown. You know, we all love or hate Lucy, however we feel about her. But is there any one of the minor characters, the brief-lived ones, who particularly calls out to you?
You know, I had so much fun working on this book. You know, I don't need much excuse at all to just go through and do a complete Peanuts reread.
You went through everything?
1950 to 2000. So this is like, okay, I've got a perfect excuse to sit down and just read through everything. And Harold Angel, like I said, I've got that, you know, nostalgia, because that's when I see those strips, that clicks. Like, that's, I remember reading those in the Chronicle Telegram, which is delivered to my parents' house in Wellington, Ohio. And there are characters like Jose Peterson, mm-hmm. who I just love, who was only in the strip for a week.
Again, that's one with the name sticks with you because the name was the gag, but he's a happy and fun character as well. He's great.
Right. Schultz said it just struck him as funny that, like, oh, I'll have a Hispanic first name and a Swedish last name. And they have family dinners with Swedish meatballs and tortillas. And, like, so there's so many wonderful details. And this was a guy who just showed up for a week.
Mm-hmm.
When he swings the bat, his batting average increases. And where he makes contact with the ball, that number floats in the air. So that's just such a great visual. And as a, you know, longtime sports fan, I can sympathize with Charlie Brown. Was excited because they were going to join his team and they're going to revitalize it. And then they decided his team was just too hopeless, and she was going to start her own team, and, you know, the rest was history.
I also like that Jose, being a Latino character, really was the first integration of Peanuts. He predates Franklin in the strip, so that's another thing we've got going for it. Now, in researching the book, you had to read everything. Oh, painful. Oh, my goodness. You had to read all 17,000 and whatever number it is strips, which is a good thing to have to do from time to time. Is there any other interesting research you had got to do?
You mentioned the Charles Schultz Museum, and that is one of my absolute favorite places to visit. It gave me, I don't need much excuse at all, but Ian Morris, who's my editor on this project, and I'd previously worked with him on the Looney Tunes Treasury, he invited me to Cameron & Company, and they're the publisher that initiated this project. And then we took a field trip to the Schultz Museum to meet with the staff at Creative Associates to talk about their vision for this book. And this whole thing came together actually because Ian had seen a Japanese book that just was a catalog of all the Peanuts characters. It reprinted very simple graphics that just had the first appearance of each character and then a brief biography of them. And he said, let's do this upright. Let's have those early strips, but let's also have some strips spotlighting these characters. Let's have some fun new graphics that we can create. We meaning Ian and his team, not that I wasn't part of that process. He had a bold vision for it, and it was really exciting to see that come together.
I'm envious of some of the images. They created images of products that don't exist in a few cases, and tapioca pudding, one of my favorite minor characters. They've got a tapioca pudding shirt, which I cannot get, but it doesn't exist in reality. I'm sad.
And I had access to Creative Associates, especially Lex Fajardo, who works there. He provided me with pretty much all the research material that I needed, access to the top secret Peanuts database, and a massive, massive catalog of quotes from Charles Schultz. So I was able to incorporate his own words into some of these character entries. And for a character like Tapioca Pudding, obviously, she'll spend a lot of thoughts about marketing and licensing and merchandising his characters. So it was very insightful to be able to put his match his words with characters like that, his explanation for why Big Ten started fading away from the strip. He said he just flat out ran out of jokes about a kid who needed a bath.
The material from Schultz really does help flesh out the amount of minor characters. There's still something to be said, even if he wasn't talking directly about the character, that reflected the character's place in the strip.
Right, and some of these characters only appeared in one panel. Some characters were off-screen only, so they didn't appear in any panel. Some of them were, you know, in many cases deliberately, were a one-note, one-joke character, or some characters you only saw on the tennis court or playing golf. But again, it was a labor of love, and knowing that Creative Associates and the people at the Schultz Museum were so excited about the project was a huge help.
Well, they're very good at giving support. I've found that in the past. They're good folks to deal with.
They actually told me that they are really happy that they'll be able to add this as a reference book for their own use. So if they need to know when did Maynard first appear, you know, they'll just pull this off the shelf and it's right there.
So cool. You've done a number of other books in the past. You know, you've mentioned the Looney Tunes book. You had a very successful Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book. This isn't the only book you have coming out for the holiday shopping season, is it?
This is actually three or three and a half coming out. So we've got the Art of Harley Quinn just dropped yesterday as of this recording. 3 weeks from now, Totally Awesome Greatest Cartoons of the 80s is coming out. My wife, Shannon K. Garrity, and I collaborated on a literally very, very tiny book that comes with called The Zombie Gnome Defense Guide. And it's Zombie Gnomes, a Tiny Terror. And it's a 2-inch high zombie gnome packaged with a book telling you how to protect yourself from it. So that's...
Cool.
That's out. We're actually doing an expanded sequel to that that's going to be out in the spring. And I'm already... Yeah.
Well, not till the spring. You put out two books every month, it looks like. So, you know, it should be out before then.
It's a funny thing. These books, actually, the 80s animation book started coming together about 3 years ago, and the Harley Quinn book started coming together about a year ago, and the Peanuts book, again, started coming together about 8 months ago. But just through the magic of publishing, they all hit within a month of each other.
Life is like that.
It's fine by me because it makes me look like you said, like I can just put out three coffee table books a month. But it took a lot of work from all these books, from editors and licensors and collectors and all the, when necessary, the interview subjects. So it's you know, team effort all around.
Yeah, people don't realize how much of a group effort. I mean, we had our names on the cover, but it's an awful lot of people behind the scenes. I've done some of these very graphic books myself, and you know, you get the praise for it, and I know that what people love best are the graphics or the things that are included, the visuals, and I may have had some input on that, but that's a lot of work from a lot of other people.
Yeah, turn to page 192 and read the small print. I ask that of everybody who reads and enjoys this book, and you know, just turn to that last page, look at all the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I should actually mention the other people who did get listed on the cover. Bob Peterson, who is the longtime employee at Pixar, co-directed Up, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. He's the voice of Doug in that film, so I'm thrilled that he was so excited about being a part of this. And I was absolutely floored that Berkeley Breathed agreed to write a foreword for this book. And again, the Peanuts people being good sports let him reprint one of his own strips, you know, which took kind of a cynical jab at Peanuts and Charles Schultz. But they were great sports about it. They let him include that strip. And as somebody who grew up reading Bloom County the same time that he was reading Peanuts in the newspaper, thrilled that that came together. I should mention, wow, it was a lot of work finding somebody who, you know, someone in comics who hadn't written a foreword or an introduction or something.
Oh, yeah, I should imagine. There's been a lot of folks over the years.
Fantagraphics on their own took about, I asked my friends on Facebook, hey, who would be a good person to write something about Peanuts? And 90% of their suggestions, Fantagraphics got there first. Barack Obama, Patton Oswalt.
Lucky for you, Bill Cosby was already off the list, so you didn't have to wonder about Bill Cosby.
He was, yeah. But one of my editors said, well, how about Burke Breathitt, because he hasn't written anything yet.
Yeah, no, Burke Breathitt is a great choice.
Pete Docter was actually on my wish list, but someone got there first and managed to get a Pete Docter intro. But we got Bob Peterson, who worked with him, and he wrote such a, and I mentioned like the cynical side of it, but I have to say I choked up a little bit reading his intro, because it was just such a sweet story that he had about Charles Schulz that I'd never heard before, and it shows just what a kind and generous person he was, just day in, day out, every aspect of his life.
Did you ever get to know Sparky?
I did not. I moved out to San Francisco about, after he'd retired, and actually about a month before he passed away.
During that period. Yeah, no, I never got to meet him either.
Yeah, but I met Jeannie not long after that, and she is, and I'll say this as long as anybody will listen, but she is pretty much the best friend that cartoonists have. She's just such a great, tireless supporter of the arts, and far not just Peanuts by any stretch. She is always out there doing whatever she can to support the arts and artists, and she's great, and she's always out there. She wants to know what's new and what's interesting, and she's always asking me and other artists just what's new, what's out there that I don't know about yet that I can learn about.
Yeah, she's a smart and on-the-ball lady. When she wants to be focused on something, don't want to be in her way. She's very good and very impressive. I really like Jeannie. Okay, well, I should probably let you get back to your mysterious and coveted private life.
I'm not sure what that is, but yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. And again, I suggest people check out the book. It should be available at all your major booksellers right about now and through this Christmas season. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much.
And that is that for this episode of the Aug Blog Podcast. I apologize if the sound was not always exactly as one might want. This is our first time doing a phone-based interview, and I'm still learning my way around the tools. I'm going to have a mailbag episode in an upcoming podcast, so please get to me any questions or suggestions you might have. Send them to questions@aug.com. That's AAUGH.com. And by the way, that's also where you want to go to check out the blog and get all the latest Peanuts books news from me. So until next time, may the Red Baron not come between you and the sun. May your kite stay far from the grinning tree. And may all your griefs be good ones.